Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 11. Today is August 10th, 2007. Here's Dove. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 11, entitled Deliver Me from Lying Lips. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. The audio comment line is available at 1-715-808-0318. So give me a call and you can record your comments and I can play them during the podcast. Also, you can also send me your comments, questions, or suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. And comments are live at the log, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Or visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. And that's www.pastorpaul.org. And Pastor Paul's mission is a not-for-profit organization providing food, love, and dignity to people in need in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. And you can make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on the homepage. Special links referred to in the Tongues of Fire podcast will be in the show notes at the log. And you can download the message there as well. Well, welcome again and thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I want to say I had a wonderful trip in Montreal. I went to the Dr. Clark seminar in Montreal on July 26th, 27th, and 28th. I purchased a book of Dr. Clark's and I was so interested in it, I just couldn't put it down. And so I visited her website, or I shouldn't say her website. Actually, Dr. Clark's website is, and I'll put that in the show notes as well, it's drclark.net. But I also visited the Dr. Clark store and I found some different products that I was very interested in finding out more about. So when I went to the seminar, I was able to learn more about the different products as well as Dr. Clark's protocol and have more of a hands-on experience. It was fantastic and I met people from all over the world. I recorded some conversations with them with my M-Audio MicroTrack, which is a handy recorder. It was just a lot of fun. We stayed at the Hotel de Fort, which is in central downtown Montreal. And if you've never been to Montreal, it's very French. I felt right at home being French-Canadian. Although I don't speak French. I would love to learn. Probably will someday. And the people that I met at the seminar, we were all really like-minded in that we were all interested in health issues, in detoxification, in curing diseases, and in Dr. Clark's protocol. She received her doctorate degree in physiology in 1958. In 1979, she left government-funded research and began private consulting on a full-time basis. 11 years later, she noticed clues as to the cause of cancer. Today, Dr. Clark puts her latest conclusions, her advice for curing cancer, her results, and her methods before you. Read and recover. Well, I bought this book for a friend of mine who had cancer, and that's how I came to know a little bit more about Dr. Clark. Very interested in detoxification And so I'm hoping that to stay connected with the people I met in Montreal, and I want you to hear some conversations from them. And in the show notes, I will list some of the different places that, we had, you know, we went out to eat at some different fantastic restaurants and that as well. And just thinking about the Dr. Clark seminar, I was putting this podcast together and listening to the comments by the people that you're going to hear, and it just brought back all kinds of memories about just, it was just a fantastic learning experience. And I'm looking forward to future seminars regarding Dr. Clark's protocol and furthering my own studies about her protocol. So without further delay, and then let me just say this. How does this fit in with Pastor Paul's message and with Pastor Paul's mission and everything? Well, when I registered new people for the grocery shelf, and I found that a lot of people came in that had different diseases, diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure, kidney disease, and I found that a lot of times mental illness, that disease was one of the common denominators with poverty. And so I'm very interested in the subjects of healing and diseases. And I do see the correlation with that and poverty. So I'm looking to look at the different books of Dr. Clark's that we can have at our store. And so that was my interest as well. So it wasn't just a personal interest, but it is a mission interest, helping people. I want you to listen to these fantastic conversations with these great people. And I'm coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, in Canada. And I am here today. Today is July 28th, and I'm here today at the Super Bowl restaurant, and we're in downtown Montreal, and I'm here with some other people from around the world. And we are here for the Dr. Clark workshop. And Dr. Clark is a well-known researcher, and we'll have more about her later in the show. And so we just are here having conversations about the workshop. And so I want to introduce you to some of the people that are here. So, who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Lorna, and I'm from Barbados. And I've been a follower of Dr. Clark since her first book came out in 1993. So when I had the opportunity to come to this seminar in which some of her followers are teaching us how to protect ourselves or protect our bodies from various diseases, I thought it was a great opportunity to meet other people from other countries and also to learn more about it. So we've had 3 days of very intensive studying on toxins and solvents and bacteria and viruses, all of which she has solutions to protect our bodies from. And in today's environment, which is heavily polluted, that's incredibly important. So I'm fortunate in that I'm one of the people who's not diseased, at least not that I know about, but I want to tone up the body so it can resist diseases, and that's why I'm here. Bye for now from me.
Thank you, Lorna. Today, one of the things I took away from today's discussion was just how important water is to our system. And I think that's another thing that we're kind of faced with today is water and the pollution involved with water. And are you going to take home from the workshop that you think will, so far, I know we still have today, we're going to be finishing up today, but what will you be taking home that made a big impression on you at the workshop here?
I think for me, and there are many things about water, today's water, but I think for me it's to watch the plastic that your mineral water or spring water comes in. Apparently there's different kinds of plastic which are acceptable and other kinds which are not. For example, if you see on the bottom of the plastic bottle a K with a circle or a U with a circle, then that means I believe that the water is better, but the plastic itself is something else you must look for. And plastics that are number 1 and number 7 are dangerous plastics. The ones that are whitish or opaque are good plastics. And in terms of the water, number 2 and number 5 are good waters. So all of this is quite
the bottles.
HTPE is good plastic. So all of this is very important to know, since we're all drinking nowadays a lot of bottled water.
Thank you. It's Janine, and I'm at the Dr. Clark workshop, and I have here someone by a very familiar name, and we have been spending quite a bit of time together here and having lunch, and I've really appreciated your company as well. What is your name and what do you do?
Hi, I'm also Janine from Alberta, Canada. I live on the western coast, or close to the western coast. I'm a nurse, and I've been reading the Clark book since about January and getting more informed. I'm here to the seminar to learn as much as I can, and a little overwhelmed, but I think I'll take back lots from this conference. I think that's it.
Now, yesterday we spent a lot of time learning about some different machines that are quite different that help people to detoxify. One of the things that we were learning about were frequencies. Is there anything that you want to talk about with regard to, because I know we were working together on learning how to use some of the frequency machines. Is there anything that you want to say about the equipment? We're all kind of shy here today. But one of the things that we learned, oh, you have something? Okay, I'm going to turn it back to Janine.
One of the machines that I have tried, and I use it personally for myself, is Clark Zapper, which uses frequencies to kill bacteria, viruses, parasites, and uses it to help numerous conditions. And I found wonderful results with it, and I'm just here to learn more about it.
I know one of the things that you had mentioned to me, that it did help your pain, which I thought was a good thing. So, but I have had a great, Lorna has said, it has been a very intense. We've learned so much, a lot of information to cover about a lot of different things. Mainly, the whole issue that we're dealing with is detoxification, and that we all need to detoxify, and that just in our natural environment and our bodies and our lifestyles, that we tend to load up with toxins and that. So that is one of the main topics here, is to detoxify. So until later, bye-bye. Janine Arnopoulos, and can you hear me out there? We are having so much fun. It's the last day of our seminar. I've been in Montreal for the last 3 days. This is my fourth day, and I'm going home tomorrow. Today is July 28th. It's been a great seminar. I've met some great people from all over the world, people from Germany, from France, Switzerland, Montreal. No, not Montreal, from Alberta and Toronto. It's been fantastic. And we are at the Enzo Italian restaurant in downtown Montreal, and we're finishing up. We just had a fantastic meal. And I have with me Christina and Thomas, who are from Europe, and they have done the seminar for us, and they came all the way from Switzerland to present the Dr. Clark therapy. And I have Christina, so I just wanted to thank you for a great seminar. And I know everyone that left here was very inspired by what we learned. And I just wanted to find out from you how you became involved with the Dr. Clark therapy and Dr. Clark.
Well, Janine, I read a book of Dr. Clark, and I was always reading very much on different types of protocols and different types of methods, alternative methods. And I just thought that what she wrote was very logical, because practically what she said was we have to remove the toxins in our body for it to start to work properly. And that just is so logic. Like, it's, if you fill a pail full of garbage, you cannot expect it to be empty. Like, you really have to empty it. So the same thing with our body. If we continue to fill it with garbage, we cannot expect it to work well. And I guess this was the main point that I started to get involved and read more and find more about what this protocol was all about.
You know, that's exactly what, you know, kind of my story in a way as well. I found a Dr. Clark book. I started reading it, and it was so easy to read, and I just understood what she was saying and about the detoxification. And I know myself, I have taken it upon myself through the years to do studying on my own and to really be responsible for my own health. And so I'm very in tune with the food that I eat and, you know, just different health issues and everything. And I know the detoxification is a real critical thing in the way that I think. So I like the way she had a full-rounded, all the way around way to help you as far as cleaning up your environment, cleaning up your body, cleaning up your home, and so it was a lifestyle type of a thing.
Well, that's just it, Janine. I believe that, you know, Dr. Clark's success is the fact that she combines many methods together. In fact, for example, she uses herbs, she uses essential oil, frequency therapy, she looks at the teeth, the water, hygiene, sterilization of the food. So she really went into depth to see which are the things that are causing our immune system to weaken. And also, a very important thing is that Dr. Clark, she never looks at the symptoms, but she always wants to know why, what is the cause. And she goes and searches for that cause, and she tries to find a way to remove that cause. And this is something so different from other ways of treatment.
I know it. It's been fantastic, and I'm looking forward really to the next one. And Montreal has been wonderful. I love Montreal. It's so cosmopolitan. Just fantastic. And we were at the Hotel de Fort, and that hotel was just perfect. It was great.
Yes, you're right. We enjoyed ourselves very much here in Montreal. We were very well treated. And as you said, also the hotel was great. And maybe we can meet for our next seminar in Australia next February.
Sounds good. I'll try to be there. Thank you, and we'll talk. Hello, back again. Well, we're finishing up our dinner at the Enzo's Italian restaurant, and I have some other people that are here tonight with us finishing up. We have Anna, who is from Switzerland, and she's actually here today just She's here this month in Montreal, actually studying English. Anna, would you like to say something, Anne? Anne knows how many, Anne, how many different languages do you know?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. How many different languages?
I learned,
English? 13? 13,
I was learning, but I don't speak 13 languages.
Say something in French, since we're in Montreal.
Alors, je commence à m'habituer à Montréal. Après 2 semaines, je commence à trouver que c'est sympa. Mais au début, c'était horrible parce que tout est tellement grand et voilà. Mais ça commence à me plaire beaucoup.
Very, thank you. I have my very dear friend who we've had many and many meals here. But she's turning shy on me and will not. I have heard so many wonderful stories. My friend Elizabeth, who is from Germany originally, and she's here with her husband Greg. And they've lived all over this country as well as in Europe. And I just want you to say one thing in German and in English. And she speaks fluently in everything. Elizabeth?
I'm happy to be here in Canada.
Among friends.
And with people who have the same interests. And we are very concerned about our health for the future. And we hope we can do something, and looking forward to it.
Thank you. We sure are, and we're just had such a great time, and that's true. We are all here, and we're looking forward to a good future. And also I have Thomas with me, and Thomas is did the seminar with Christina, and they came from Switzerland. And I would like Thomas to just talk a little bit about why he's here and what brought you to Montreal.
Well, my start with the Clark therapy was, I've met David, he was a good friend of mine, and he had the book, The Cure for All Diseases, on the back on his car. And I was reading the book, and I was just surprised that we could have the possibility that we have parasites in our body, because that was totally new for me, and I've never thought about the problem that we could do anything with herbs for our bodies. So this was new, and I was surprised that she was describing cases where she could heal or treat patients with migraines, because normally you just take the medicine. So that was what I was, that was normal for me to do. So I was a teacher too at this time, and then I had the idea that I want to go on to give seminars about this therapy, because I thought if this is true, then I want that all other peoples on this planet should know about this. So that was the reason to go on for me.
Actually, it's just a natural that when you find something good and you find something that can help somebody, that it's really hard to keep quiet about it, and you do want to tell people. And I just appreciate the seminar. It was a way for me to have a hands-on experience and to find even more details about just things that are important for our health. Thank you so much, and I look forward to our next seminar.
What a great seminar, great group of people. It was fantastic. It was so good to hear from them again, and it was a good report. Pastor Paul's message, "Deliver me from lying lips," speaks about a good report. So here it is. Deliver me from lying lips.
Tonight's message is entitled, "Deliver Me from Lying
lips. Have you ever been lied against and then you tried to get out of it? And the more you tried to get out of it, the worse it got. Or have you ever been slandered and you try to get out of the slander, and the more you press and the more you try to get out, the worse it is? Well, you know what the Lord says? It says, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. All over the cities right now, we're running into pastors that are in a lot of problems with people. And I've come to believe this, and I know this, and I just tell them, I say, well, listen, preacher, what do you expect? These people are sinners saved by grace, the same as you and I. And they're going to have these things. They're going to have those kind of things that go on all the time in the church. You're going to see mass exoduses where people will come up to the whole section, will come into another church, and to that I say, whoa, go back. You're going to see that in the end. Malcontentment, people running all over seeking out new wisdom and new marvelous things out of the Word of God, and the gospel is forgotten. But deliver me from lying lips, in Numbers 13 and 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. You go on in there and you'll get eaten alive. And all the people that we saw in it were of giant stature. Don't go in there. Man, they'll eat you alive in there. They're big. And then Numbers 14, 6 and 7 says, and Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. They couldn't understand. They said, what are you talking about? And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. I mean, where are these guys coming off that it's so bad over there? It was beautiful. So here we see the children of Israel, because of unbelief, they sent spies into Canaan. You go first, okay? So they sent all these people ahead to seek it out and to sort of be scouts. See if everything was all right. They come back and they said, the eight of them or so said, well, there's giants over there. They'll eat you up. And then two had a good report. See, they had an evil report, but two had a good report. This is an exceedingly good land. And anyway, God had told them it was a good land, and he promised to drive out their enemies. God says, you go on in there, and I'll take care of you. And all this week, God has been saying, Paul, go on. Keep on. Sometimes when I fear to tread into places, or I fear to go ahead, and all you preachers or people in their situations or whatever, and you're wondering where you should go with this problem, wondering if you should cross over and go on in, just listen real carefully, and God will say, go on in and I'll take care of it. Go ahead, press on. And I did this week, and some people come up and, man, they just blessed the church. By going on and believing, we were able to pay for the bus totally, get it all taken care of. You know, we'll be able to put our cement in our basement up there in the house, complete. We were able to pay for the nursery down there because God just said, dare to believe and go on. Don't you get your eyes on the giants. Don't you get fearful of them great big old giants that you suppose are on the other side over there. And so they also should have marched right on in with all the confidence to possess the promised heritage. When God speaks to you in the end, and he will, you listen real careful, and God is going to speak to you as an individual. Don't listen to, there's confusion out there. Unless that you go where the gospel is preached and people are brought in, and there's a work of God going on, and I think it's a waste of time if it's any other kind of thing. But no, they sent in 12 princes to spy out the land, and 10 were faithless. Only two were true to the Lord. Notice the effect of the lying messengers. It paralyzed the people. See, you can lay fear on people. Well, hey, this is wrong, and that is wrong, and this is wrong, and there's the giants of this, and the giants of that. Giants everywhere, over here and over behind a bush. No, oh, God, it's terrible over there. Don't go in, don't. And they all got fearful. You know, you can have those 10 little princes within you. All that's talking about here, we're talking about 12. Did you know there can be 10 princes in you telling you and putting fear in you not to go ahead with your life? Not to cross over and get into some new land and to stay where you're at? Maybe you'll listen and you'll pull back. But you better start to listen to the voice of the Lord. Don't get paralyzed and paralyzed by people because, see, they believed a lie. Tore down the whole body. No, and there's so much of that going on. And I think that people have gone around so much. Are you listening on the radio? You forget probably that you've been to some of these churches, and after 10 or 15 years, you drop in again, and they remember you. They got you on the wanted poster up there. Or I should say the unwanted poster. But don't you see, it tears down the body. And they can make a mountain out of a molehill, and they defeat the people with their lies. But oh, that truthful message. The one that brings hope. The one that builds up the body. Go on, there's a steady work going on down here. I mean, we have to start hitting at the little people. 7 years that I've been down here, and I'm seeing change in the people that were 2, now that are 9. That were 9, that are now 16, that are 16, that were 16, and now they are 23, that were 23, and now they're 30 and have their own kids. So we're seeing a gradual change to us. But how many people have they affected along the way? See, salvation is of the Lord. Oh, you might minister to somebody and lead them to the Lord, and you say, this guy didn't even get saved. Well, he isn't manifesting any of Christ at all, unless all of a sudden after 5 or 6 years, he passes you up. You say, man, this man, what happened? Well, God gave him a diploma, and he finally said, wait, and he just went over to the other side. That's all. But always it's got to be a truthful message that will bring hope and that will build up the body. Now, it isn't everybody that's going to go down to Franklin Avenue. You're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit, you that will come and you listening on the radio, and I challenge you to come and get involved. It's going to take a special anointing of the Holy Ghost to go on down to Franklin Avenue. I really mean that. I've been there. I housed myself there for a few years when I was an alcoholic. And so I know a little bit about it. And so tonight, let's look at this parable. The land of Canaan is a picture of religion. It's not a picture of heaven. For in heaven, there are no giants to drive out. No walled cities. There are no kings with chariots of iron. But Canaan is an excellent picture of religion. The children I'm talking about of Israel stand for the great mass of humanity, representatives. And the great mass of mankind never try for themselves what religion really is. What faith in Christ really is. And I would like to challenge the high steeple, few people sit down on the rump, never do nothing churches, Serbiatists, that are out there where salvation is never preached, where faith is never put out, where people are never challenged to do anything but just come to church once a week, if they can possibly make it, if it isn't too much of a disturbance to them. And so they read no sacred books or taste of no faith in Jesus Christ, but what they do is they consider those of us who make our profession of faith as spies who have entered into the land. Now, we're going to go over into the land and we're going to come in as spies. Now, I came down here as a spy. Several other folks, hundreds, came down here as spies in the beginning of this ministry. Some went out of here with an evil report. There's giants down there. Everybody's got a watchdog. They'll steal your hubcaps, knock your windows out. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible, huh? And a very small fraction of percentage went out with a good report. And the Bible tells us to go out with a good report. God says, go on in. Put your foot in that land. Conquer. Walk in. Stay there. Brighten the corner where you are. Come on out with a good report. And how do you get a good report? By staying in and doing battle. And God says, I'll give you the victory. I'll show you that you can go through, and it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Just like Jim, that fellow got off the bus last night. It was by the hand and by the Spirit of God that he got off. Isn't that right? Are you hearing this? Everything has got to be done by the Spirit of the Lord. But there's going to go people out of here and people out of Franklin Avenue and people out of churches all over the world with an evil report. God says, go on out and give a good report. Don't paralyze people with fear and with doubts. So are you hearing this? You out there in suburbiitis? But anyway, they look upon our character when we go in to spy. They want to find out what you're made of. The first time I went down Franklin Avenue, a couple of big guys come up, a couple of big Indians. I looked in my mirror real quick and they kicked on the car. Oh, like they got hurt. And I just put my head out the window. I said, hey, you didn't damage my car, did you? Watch it. See, but you got to have a little bit of a sense of humor. And you got to be able to relate with people, and you got to see where they're at. And you got to go out of there with a good report, and I have a good report. They are beautiful people. And they're wide open to the gospel of Jesus Christ if we dare to go on in, and we go on in there and we bring back a good report. Someone, somewhere. Has got to go in and got to go over and got to go into the Canaan land. Has got to go against the giants of fear and doubt and anxiety and all these things that all Christians are confronted with right now and say, let's go on over and let's conquer. God has already given us the promise it will be done. And probably what you're seeing down here right now is a remnant of what God is going to do. Say amen, somebody. Only the beginning of what God is going to do. Only the beginning. Right now, as we march over and we stand our ground, and boy, it's hard to stand your ground sometimes because it seems like when you stand your ground, everything goes wrong. It's hard, having done all stand, because you want to cut loose, and here you are, you're standing right here, and you can't cut loose. God says, having done all stand, stay right there, and it would be so easy to cut and run. Oh, it's like you tell this dog, now stay. That's the way I feel. God has said, stay. And having done all, stand. And boy, sometimes it's hard because it seems like everything happens around you. Every hideous, damnable thing that ever could happen happens to you. The worst thing that can happen to you, it seems like, are lying lips. You want to say something so bad you'd almost want to scream. But God says, having done all, stand. Keep your mouth shut. Don't wag your lips. No, I started thinking about lips. My, how nice and puffy and sweet they are and everything until they start to slander and they get just like razor blades. Don't they? When we start to cut each other down and we start to get mad and we start to get rebellious, they get all white and they get like little slits. Huh? Now, lips are made for kissing. They're not made for that kind of thing. You're supposed to pucker up and kiss each other. You're not supposed to be using them for slander and for all this kind of thing that's going on in the house of God. Say amen, somebody. They're not made for evil report. They're made for good report. They're made for lifting up the Lord. That's what they're made for. And so these people are going to look upon our character when we go over there. And here I am, in a situation, and I left the suburbs to come down here, and now we've confronted the situation down here, and now we're going into another land. And I'll tell you right now, from my experience, they're going to look at your character. They're going to try to find out what you're made of, and they're going to look at your conduct. And they're going to look at the message which you bring. And they're going to listen to the message that you take out of there too, by the way. Better have a good report. And so all over we have the ungodly man that doesn't even read the Bible. To discover Jesus Christ so holy and so beautiful. And so he has to read the living, walking, talking epistles known and read of all. Man, it's you that they're going to read. See, when you go into these areas, they don't read the Bible, they read you. And I'll tell you, it takes a worldly person to spot a phony. They know a phony when they see one. Say amen, somebody. You can walk up there all pursy-lipped, and you can be carrying your Bible, and you can have the four spiritual laws sticking out of every pocket and out of every hat. You can look like you got a fishing hat on with all of this bait you got up inside around the rim up there, and you can just nicey pie it all up and say, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And they'll spot you if you're meaner than hell. They will. They know instinctively. But when you come with the Spirit of God and you come with that Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, something happens. You'll be challenged, number one. Number two, if you stand having done all, stand, they're going to check out your conduct and they're going to check out your character. That's where it's at. Going ahead and trusting in the Lord. And I believe if the church is not consistent in doing that, it condemns, and these people start to condemn the Word of God. They condemn the Bible on the basis of what they see in you and me. If they see unloved in you and me, that's exactly what's going to happen. If they see a split and they see some kind of a thing going on that shouldn't be, then that's exactly what they're going to judge that church by. If they see a leader that isn't having done all stand and won't, you know, say yes to nobody but the Lord, then they're going to say, this man is not a God. Say amen, somebody. That's just exactly the way it is. Having done all, stand. They're going to watch us and they're going to say, what kind of a report are you going to give after I kicked you right in the seat of the pants? Well, of course, we know that the Bible is never to be held accountable for the sins of those who profess to believe it. No. Ungodly men, of course, do not come and by repentance and faith make trial of the love of Jesus Christ. And they do not enter into the covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, or else they would know that it is good. And how are they going to know it's good until they see that we, right now, that we are the ones that are manifesting Jesus Christ? They're going to read you and me. They're not going to read the Word of God. They'll tear up your tracts when you pass them out. It's going to take a dedicated work. And when we get into this X bar up there, and we start manifesting the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we open that place up, when we start to manifest the Lord now, we come on with some rules and with some regulations and we come on with some heavy things, but there's love mixed with it. I'm going to tell you what people need right now in the United States is discipline. I'm not talking about with a whip. I'm talking about by the Word of God and by love. And if our face and our talk and our walk and our gloomy report goes out of there, it isn't going to do one single solitary thing for the Lord. Not one thing. Until we can go in there with a heart filled, till we can go in there and show these people that it's beautiful. A lot of times people think the difficulties are too great to go into a place like that. Oh no, and the enjoyments are too few, and it'll take too much of my darling time. And that's where we lose it. We don't want to dedicate our time and a purpose to the Lord. We don't want to give it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, no, I don't want to give it all. And as I walked down Franklin Avenue, I looked at all these people along the street there, and I looked at the hopelessness of that whole avenue down there. I mean, it was almost like hell itself. And what they don't know down there is that they're getting that whole avenue down there for a renewal. A renewal for who? A renewal for the rich. Condominiums. Shopping centers. And where, pray tell, do these people go? Where are they all going to end up? Now, someone's got to go in there, and someone's got to go in there with a good report. So the woman called me up today. She says, my husband will be back on the 25th. He's real anxious to meet you. He's real anxious to open that building up. He doesn't care what it costs. He wants the thing to go over. Now, the next question is, how many people want to go over with? Are we going to stand on the outside? Are we going to go on the inside? See, it's a funny thing, but when you make a commitment, it's just like when you get in a fight. So you can just get so close, and then you've made your commitment. Now it's punch-out time. We have four or five times when you can back off. But now it's commitment time. And you make that one step over, you're committed. When I get in there, I'm going to have to pray, Lord, I'm right next to this right now to making my final commitment. And the minute that I cross over that line and I say yes to the Lord, I am committed unto that work. I remember being down here and coming down here, and I had to have a good report. Wherever I went, I had a good report. How's it going? I say, exactly the way the Lord wants it to. Grit, grit, grind, grind, white knuckles. And that's the way it will be up there on Franklin Avenue. And so tonight, let's make every Christian man and woman, young person, a spy who has entered into the good land of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about Franklin Avenue. And who by their very contact and their conversation brings either an evil or a good report of this good land. Neither is going to move the world to murmur and hate religion, or else it's going to bring them in, and they're going to want to have what we have. A woman called me up, and she said something like this.
Well, she says, how is it that you're getting along so well with the world and all the Christians are getting persecuted? And I see your name in the paper, and I see you on TV, and I see you on the radio, and I hear all about you. How is that?
Well, I said, first of all, I don't judge the world, for the Bible says, judge ye not the world, for they are already under judgment. And secondly, I think that we can be a word and a testimony to that people that it's fun being a Christian and they want to get involved. Say amen, somebody. I think a lot of times that we're out there and we bait people to hate us. Well, they persecuted me. I was in the dime store and I had a piece of pie there. And I bowed my head in prayer and I said, thank you, Jesus. And they started snickering. Real persecution, I tell you. You call that persecution? How many are hearing this? Hey, get ready for total persecution. And you know where it's going to come out of? It's going to come out of the church. It's going to come out of the church, and I'll tell you why it is. It's going to come out of organized, denominational, or whatever, and there's going to be a split that's really going to set you on your ear. Well, all of a sudden, you'll look out, and you'll look out into the audience, and there'll be somebody you thought, man, this person is really right on, and there'll be a hoof hanging out of the bottom of their pants. Huh? And they'll take off their hat, and there'll be a little bump up there, sort of a little beginning of a horn. Mark it down, you're going to see more and more and more of that. And it says God is going to call a people out of a people. And now get ready for it, preacher, because you're going to have gut-churning fear. You know what I mean? Do you ever have gut-churning fear? Maybe it's kind of like when you had to get up and give your first book report. Do you remember that kind of fear? Huh? When you felt like you had to go to the restroom 14 times before you got up? Do you remember that kind of fear? Are you hearing this? I'm talking about that you are going to be challenged in such a real way. And you're going to be asked to put your very life on the line. Will you go over? Or will you stay? And God is going to challenge us and going to say, will you go over or will you stay? And there's going to be a separation between the sheep and the goats, and that's the way it's going to be. There's a terrible shaking coming on in the church. And everything it says that will be shaken will be shaken. Everything. God is going to do a whole lot of shaking. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, the song says. And I'll tell you, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on in the house of God. Well, who will stand? Those that depend upon the Lord. Those are the ones that's going to stand, and those are the ones that are going to go on. Are you hearing this tonight? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Rejoice evermore, it says, and rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You're going to have to start rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what happens to you, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Oh, this happened and that happened. My God, things are falling apart. Now, don't go by sight. Don't go by sight. In the end, if you go by sight, the Bible says men's hearts are going to fail. What a wonderful opportunity. I talked to a guy today and he says, you know, I'm in the food distribution business like you are. And he says, what have you noticed? I thought, well, now I'm being baited. What have you noticed in the time that you've been in food distribution? I said, well, I've noticed that people are sinners saved by grace, same as I am. See, there'll come all kinds of evil questionings, people trying to bait you into conversations. Don't you fall for it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Go ahead and tell people, taste in the Lord and see that. When I get up there, I'm going to tell the guys up there, come on, taste in the Lord and see that He is good. And ask Him, when you go into a cafe, and you order a steak, do you want to sit down and watch somebody else eat one first? No, you taste of the Lord and see that He is good. And you taste of the Lord and see that He is good. And you that have been saved and haven't been doing anything, start to taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Get yourself involved. Well, I am. I do this, and I'm talking about getting involved. I'm starting a program down here, and very shortly, I'm writing it up right now. I'm going to challenge people to come down here. It's going to cost them $300 to join the club. They're going to come down here. I said it before. I'll say it again because I think it's necessary. They'll be down here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. No girlfriends, no boyfriends, nothing. 6 months of active duty. And they're going to pay for it. Pay to learn how to suffer. It'll do them so much good. It'll build character. What's lacking right now in our country? Character. Take a look around in our country right now. What is lacking? Character. I think we should have a character building ministry where we start to build characters, where we start to build these things into people, where we say, are you dedicated enough to offer yourself, your life for 6 months, unreservedly, no reserve whatsoever? You're going to just think, speak, walk, talk Jesus Christ. You're going to work until the midnight hour and pass that. You're going to be on call 24 hours a day and you're going to pay for the privilege of suffering. Will you do it? How many think is going to do it? Well, I'll tell you who's going to do it. The dedicated ones. Say amen. And some of them won't be that dedicated. They say, I'll do it. They'll be there 3 nights. There'll be a lot of AWOLs, a lot of runaways. I know it. And it's the same way when you take people into a strange land, God, they disappear like flies. Oh, God, they're gone. Are you ready to pass over? Are you ready to go in and have a good report? Are you ready to go over onto the other side? I tell you, there's such a great work that's going to happen. If we dare to believe the Lord right now, it's about ready to happen right now. I had some things happen today that opened my eyes up. No, was it today? I get mixed up in my days. Was it the day before? I mean, that really opened my eyes up, and this is a move. God is on the move. I just don't want to be standing gawking and get run over. I want to be ready to run at any moment. I want to be able to go with the message and get over. I don't want to pick somebody else. I want to go over and come back with a good report. How many want to do that? Hey, that's going to take dedicated people. I'll tell you something, it's going to be fun. Be a commando for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dare to go on over. Come on back with a good report. And don't you, a lot of times when people will go over to the other side and a whole pack of them will come back, you know, and you'll get up in there. Oh, man, it's mean up there. There's tribes of people up there. I'll tell you, it isn't safe for man or beast up there. My God. Oh, Jesus, it was terrible. Swearing and cussing up there and drinking and carrying on and drugs and kids and knives and people being killed and stuff like that. No, my God. Evil reports. Evil reports. That's all you hear sometimes, is evil reports. I'm not looking for that. I say, well, that don't bother me. What'd you expect? You're going over in and you're going up against. And what do you expect? You have to, having done all, stand in that situation. What did you expect? I know what to expect when I go over into a battle. A battle. Say amen, somebody. We're in the very end right now, and God is calling people to go into battle. Isn't Jesus supposed to be our example? Aren't we to sit with the sinner? Well, you know, I thought to myself, you know, the sinners are right on in a way. They're supposed to sin, and they do it with all their heart. They really do a good job of sinning. Now, we're sinners saved by grace, and we're supposed to be doing works for the Lord. Now, we can do it with our whole heart, or we can sit down and murmur and complain and not do what God has called us to do. And I thought, and then also I thought, now here's a drunk, and he does it with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul. He really puts everything into it. And it's manifesting itself in his nose. It looks like a great big red light bulb. He isn't a piss. He's sort of a red by all men. They can read, but there's a booze nose. And I believe that if Christians would put all their heart and all their mind and all their soul into what they're doing, of course, then you're going to have some heinous trials. And you're going to meet up with lying spies. And you're going to meet up with slander. And you're going to meet up with a white, thin-lined, lipped crowd. But does it really matter? Bible says to go on out and to have a good report. Well, how's it going down there on the north side? How's it going on the north side? Well, just exactly the way the Lord wants it to go on the north side. Well, what does that mean? I mean, the crime rate and all that. I see it on TV and everything. I say, hey, I got a good report. Today, a little boy about 3 years old hasn't been talking to anybody since beginning day one, or 4 or 5 years old, I guess, has not smiled or talked to anybody. Is now I am talking to him, and he's calling me by my name. Brother, I says, I don't care about what you see on TV. I am seeing miracles. Here's a little boy that now is talking. That wasn't talking, that wasn't smiling, and now he's crossed over, and that's my good report. Today, I made rice and I didn't burn it. That's a good report. See, it don't take a whole lot for me to have a good report. Today, God entrusted me with the latrines, and I shined the bowls up, they looked fantastic. Or today, I ministered and several people come to know Jesus. See, it doesn't matter where I'm at. It's what's on the inside. It's that looking for a good report. It's that always going on and saying, Jesus, let me be that one that will give a good report. Aren't there so many things that we miss in this old life that we could give good reports about? And we're so anxious to give out sort of a lie and sort of a bad report. You know why we do that? Because people like to hear it. Hey, I hear the thing is going down. I mean, you know what I mean? Sort of a depressed Fonzie, you know what I mean? Isn't it funny that we do have that spirit? And that we love to get into that kind of thing. Why is that? Because we can create more of an audience than telling about a 4 or 5 year old boy that finally smiled. Oh, that's real nice. Huh? See, these are miracles that we miss. What's going to happen off of that little boy? It'll probably change the whole household. Probably could change the whole course of the whole north side here. Why? Because he picked up the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ right here in this church. Say amen, somebody. See, that's what it's, that's like coming in here tonight. Are you going to go out of here with a good report or a bad report? Well, I didn't like the guy. I just thought he was loud and crass. I mean, he's nothing like, I didn't picture him like that. I've heard him on the radio, and I thought he'd be about 6 foot tall and had some hair. He's just a little runt, you know, bald, see, and a bad report. Isn't it easy to give bad reports? Oh, I'll try starting to give good reports sometimes. You feel so good on the inside, don't you? I got so excited talking to these people. They were interested in our ministry down here. I got so excited about it. And then this over here. Now, wait a minute. Come on over here. And they started picking up on the excitement of it. Come on. And pretty soon they were running. Oh, okay. No, I said, no, over here. No, they were going this way. Over here. And I had them running all over. And I says, well, I'm sorry, I says, I'm so excited to show you people. I don't get a lot of company down here. And I got so much good reports to give you. Just stick with it. Oh, no, this is fine. We love it. What next? And these three business people that came in here to take a look at what was going on down here got so excited. Why? I gave them good report. Now, I could have told them a whole lot of things that, and then this happened. God. Yeah, it's been rough. I'm going to hang in, though. Huh? And then, this happened 4 or 5 years ago. Praise God, though, anyway. Huh? People don't want to hear that either, do they? They come down, they want to hear a good report. And for the good report, they gave me a good report, a check. Say amen, somebody. Now, I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share it. I needed $19,000. Are you hearing this? $19,000. Well, I got it. Yep. And all week long through prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord on this thing, God spoke to me every morning when I woke up and he said, Paul, go on. Keep on. It was all just my mother used to say that all the time. Keep on keeping on. But he didn't say that. He said, keep on. Keep on. And this man came up and he says, here, we got a little something for you. I said, sir, I don't have my glasses on. I seen it, but I wanted to hear him say it. And the zeros went right off the end of the page. I had to write him up in a sort of a pigtail. Sir, I can't read this. Could you read it for me? And he got, yes, all right. It's a check made out for the Disciples Ministry Church for $10,000. And then the other money come from another source. But God blessed. Now, you know, there's been a lot of evil reports. But that's a good report, isn't it? Is that a good report? I think that's a wonderful report. Down here where there is not nickel, one. You can't find two nickels to scrub together down here. I ain't kidding you. There's no money down here. I got another good report. You know what it is? There's no money down here, but my God, do we have food. Our cupboards are overflowing. We will be giving away 5,000 plus on Easter, 5,000 plus grocery bags complete with turkey. Yep. Isn't that great? And you know why we're able to do that? Because a good report has went out. And people like that, to hear a report over here and hear a report over there. And they want to get involved in the good report. A guy called me up and says, hey, I had a steer, he says, and he swallowed a piece of iron. I know nothing about steers. I just know that McDonald's takes some grains them up and makes hamburger out, and that's all I know. And you pump their tail to get milk out. That's all I know. And anyway, he says, I got this steer, and it got a little piece of metal down inside the lung. And the steer is starting to dehydrate. He says, it's kind of an old steer, so it isn't worth me fixing and having the vet come out. So I said, well, how about giving me that old steer? He says, well, what would you like it? And I says, well, give it to me in 1-pound packages and 5-pound packages, and I want it all in hamburger. And I says, I would like to do this. I says, no, I just think that's beautiful. And I said, I would like to for you to get all the farmers together, and I want to come up and talk to them about all them old steers that get lame or arthritis or ingrown hoofs or whatever. And you're going to do something with them. And I says, maybe we can work something out where you make some money and I make some money and everybody's happy. And the guy says, well, wow, that sounds kind of good. I said, well, that's a good report. And I says, go on out and give it away right now. I foresee mountains of hamburger. Hide your face, McDonald's. I mean, I'm talking about mountains of hamburger. I'm talking about a 1.5 to 2-pound hamburger in every grocery bag. Every time. Why not? Why not dare to believe and give out a good report? You know what? I think it's going to take cooperation. And I think God is about ready to open the doors up. And I think because of the good report that's been going out here by the TV, by all such worldliness, by the TV, by the radio, by the paper, by the word of mouth, that even the world is getting excited about what's happening down here on Oliver Avenue. And they're starting to say, you know, something that is really exciting, and I really believe there is a God. Because there is a good report going out. And it also says in the Bible in the end that God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. Not of the church, of the world. You know that song, We Are the World, We Are the People? There's some $40 million made on that record so far. We are the world. We are the people. God has used that as an instrument to reach people all over. And I'll tell you something, the Spirit of God is on that record. Do you know that? And I believe that that thing is going to go not only $40 million, but $60 million. And it's feeding people. Oh, man. See, that's what the kind of a report that we got to have. We are the church. We are the people. Huh? Why not? Or haven't we got enough unity to say we are the church? We are the body of Christ. We are the people. We are going to meet the needs. We're going to cross over. We're not concerned about the giants of fear and rebellion and white-lipped lying. We're not concerned about all that slander and garbage. We're going to repent. We're going to go on to Jesus. We're going to say, Lord, all that will come, come, because we're going to go on over to the other side. God, we're going to conquer, and we're going to have a land over there full of milk and honey. We're going to share it out there with all them people, because we are the church. We are the people. Oh, wouldn't that be exciting to have a song like that? We are the church. We are the people. And raise funds and do things like that and have a good report going out of the church? Why don't we have a good report going out of the church? Why isn't there unity in the body of Christ? Why all the competition? There's only one God. There's only one salvation. There's only one baptism. What are you fighting over? What is there to fight about? Why not look for something good? Maybe you got something against somebody. I mean, you know, give it over. And if you can't get along, get out. But do something and have a good report. Go out of here tonight with a good report. Go out of here and say, I learned something tonight that I'm going to give a good report from now on. Praise God, I'm not going to give evil reports anymore, and I'm not going to get into any of these things anymore. I'm going to be that person that's got an uplifting message. Jesus is able. I went down and I was standing in that doorway with all them big guys down there on Franklin Avenue and got to talking to all them. You know, people is people. Bottom line, people are just people. I don't care what size or shape they come in. They all got hearts that pump blood. They all got a head that thinks, and they all got emotional problems, and they all have feelings, and they all got a soul. That's the bottom line, what it's all about. Everybody's got a soul. Everybody's beautiful. Just got to get in on the inside in there, and you got to go over there, and having done all, stand. Oh, God. I feel a brand new thing happening inside of me. Dedication, fanatical, unto the death dedication. I just go ahead and see this job done. And I know God is going to bring us people. Oh, my. I'm going to get your dad down. I'm going to have him show me how to make some of that stew in them stewing pots. I got the report back today, a couple days ago, on $150,000 worth of equipment that we put a bid in for $14,000 and we got. We got it. Well, you know, on Judgment Day, and I'll close this up, it ain't going to do us no good to point our finger at another man and say, he gave me an evil report. No. It's his fault. No. His walk was sloppy. No. And so I just gave up, because in our businesses we're independent enough, aren't we? In making money we're independent enough. Buying our home, we're independent. In eating, we're independent. In choosing our friends, we're independent. Are you hearing this tonight? Jesus is your example. Follow me as I follow Jesus. Is that what it does in the Bible? Let's be spies that go over there with a face that's lit up. Say, well, what can I do for you? Don't give out those gloomy reports by a face of gloom, by talk with gloom, by walk with gloom, by actions with gloom. And I think some of the most miserable people that I've ever met are the religious people. Going over to somebody's house and their kids say, oh, my dad is religious. But he's sort of a mood swinger. Oh, how would you like to swing on a mood? Carry mood spells home in a jar. I mean, the guy's always in the moods. So many times, Christians, we get moody. What a poor report. And we fall into a mood, and we affect everybody all around us because we're having a mood. God, I'm having a mood. Get out of my way! Oh, God. How we need to guard against our face. How we need to have a face that isn't all gloom. Oh, listen to some of them pray. Listen to the whole list of trials that they pray out. Why don't they start to just get the laughter and the joy of the Lord? I mean, you know, just get it on. Stop yelling out, the giants, the giants! And start to walk over into Canaan land and walk into those jobs that God has foreordained that you should do. You know how neat it is to know that God has foreordained and pre-picked you to do a job and that you're just going on and you're going to do it? Let's be sure that we are good reports. Every day that we get up, say, God, by the Holy Spirit, help me to be a good report. Help me to be that one. Because you know, all over you're going to have babes watching you. They're going to watch how you go through your suffering and how you go through your trials and how you go through your temptations and how you go through your slander. They're going to watch you and they say, my God, I don't know if I could take all that. And have that dying good report where the Christian says, yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. In other words, when God puts knobs on your head to keep you from falling over the edge, when he reaches out with his staff and he pulls you back in again roughly, say, that's a comfort to me. Tonight, let's remember here in closing it, we have been fashioned to give good reports. Don't let yourself utter a bad report. You know why? Because in the measure that you mete it out, shall it be met out to you. And so as ye judge, so shall ye be judged. The matter that you judge, God also will judge. And the matter that you gave out mercy and forgiveness, in that same measure, God is going to measure it out to you. Oh, don't judge the world. For the Bible says the world is already under judgment. Just go on out and give them a good report. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, yes, today, and forever. That's the report that we got to have, and that's the report that we're going to have, and that's the report that we're going to give out. We don't have to get into a whole lot of mind-bending doctrinal things. We're just going to say, Jesus loves you, and he wants you to come on in. Did you hear this message tonight? It's all about giving a good report. Go on home and give your mom a good report, and your dad a good report. And you listening on the radio, start giving good reports out. That's the way it's got to be. Die doing good. Has anybody in here tonight got a good report? Some good report. I mean, now you went all week, and here it is Friday night. You got to have one good report. I know there's everybody in here got a bad report. Think about it. You listening on the radio, every one of you, if I asked you to give a bad report, you could give them by the dozens. Why is that? Because we are so involved with ourself. It's called self-love. Has anybody in here got a good report? Right there, sir.
What a great message. When you were listening to the message, were you thinking of a good report that you had? If you have a good report, give us a call at the audio comment line, and that number is 1-715-808-0318. You can also send your comments, questions, and suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. And comments are live at the log, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And you can visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. Again, that's www.pastorpaul.org. Pastor Paul's mission is a not-for-profit organization providing food, love, and dignity to people in need in the Twin City, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota area. You can make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on the homepage. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I want to say thank you to all my friends at the Dr. Clark Seminar for sharing their experience and their ideas about the seminar. And it was a great time in Montreal. We look forward to another seminar in the future. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's Tongues of Fire podcast every week, Fridays. Thank you. Until next Friday, God bless you. So if you're